Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another week. Yeah, another one of the Chaos Ball Podcast. Thanks for tapping in this week. If you can tell by the title, I hope so, because you clicked on it. I'm not really going to be talking about the Major League team, the Seattle Mariners, this week. I don't really feel like it. I feel like I deserve a week where I don't need to talk about them. And I just don't really care for it. They just got trounced by the Twins in a game that started at 11 a.m., which was too early to be that disappointed at the Seattle Mariners. So this week, I will be focusing on what's been going on in the minor leagues. We're about a month into the minor league season. I want to take some note of how our top prospects are doing, give some breakout guys this year, and then overall state of the minor league teams. One thing, Aubrey Graham, if you are listening to this and clicked on this episode, no, it's not minors in that sense. This is about minor league baseball players, so you can click out of this episode, you bozo. Without further ado, let's just get into it. This episode, I think I'm going to title it Checking In with the Minor League Mariners. So it's going to be less Rainiers focused. If I have time at the end of the episode, I might mention what's going on in Tacoma, but this is a lot more focused on Double A and below. And I'll go over like team performance overall, which I don't really care like a whole lot about unless they are destroying everyone in their path, like the Modesto Nuts this season. Otherwise, like minor league team performance it's fun when they do win, but it's more kind of about the individuals. But like if your minor league teams are winning a lot, that's a general indicator you have some talent down there. And then I'm going to go over the performance of the like top prospects on those teams. And I'll say top prospects, and I'm talking about like the top 10 in the Mariners system, according to MLB.com. And I'm going to mention other guys who are having great starts to the year who are like just outside the top 10 or not even on the top like 30. But when I say top prospects, I'm talking about the top 10. So, and then I have a offensive breakout player of the year so far and a pitching breakout player of the season so far. So, and these guys fall in that same category. They're outside the top 10. So like last year, I guess like Lazaro Montez last season he was probably a breakout player of the year in the minors. He's now the, I think, fourth overall prospect in the system, jumping from like, I think 12th last year, even more so. And he was on my team of the year, minor league team of the year. Luis Suisbel was probably even more technically like the breakout player of the system last year, because he wasn't even on the top 30 going into last year. He's barely on it this year, but he like jumped right on that thing where I was like, yeah, Lazaro was closer to the top 10. So breakout in the sense is just a guy that's not really on a whole lot of people's radars. And yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. Another thing to preface, there's about a month worth of sample size here. So like 20 to 27-ish games, I deem that enough to talk about these guys. I mean, it is the start of the season, like plenty of season to go, much like the Major League Ball Club. But I think it's fun to just take a look at the minors. I'll probably do this probably once more in the middle of the season. And then obviously my minor league team of the year, which I do really enjoy doing at the end of the year when the minor league season wraps up. And these stats are as of Thursday, May 9th. That is when I'm recording, the day they got destroyed by the Minnesota Twins, the Seattle Mariners did. And I'm going to start with the Arkansas Travelers, the Double-A team, and go down from there. So I'll go Travelers, Aqua Sox, Nuts, and then like one notable from the very early rookie ball season that like just started this last week. So, and I'm saving the best team for last. So you better listen all the way through so I can really wax poetic about the 2024 Modesto Nuts. But we'll start with the Travelers. Travelers have started off the season pretty well, 16-12 in the Texas League of Double-A baseball. They have a 16 run differential, scored 147, given up 131. 131 is a really good mark. That's one of the better ones in the league, giving up runs. And this is kind of where their pitching lab is, so it's not super surprising. And there's a few top prospects on this team. Many of you will be familiar with these top prospects. First one I'll be talking about is Tyler Locklear, who is a 23-year-old. He's been playing predominantly first base down there, and that's probably his position long-term, but he does play third base too. So I think long-term he's probably a first baseman with like emergency third base in his repertoire. A second-round pick in 2022. He's the number 8 prospect in the Mariners system right now. He's killing it. to start the year. He is sixth in the Texas League in OPS with a 926, fifth in OBP with a 426, and his overall slash line is 300, 426, 500 on the dot. Four home runs, 17 RBIs, a really healthy 14.6% walk rate, 22% K rate. And he's like putting pressure, I feel like, a little bit on the big league club to like maybe aggressively promote him because Ty has been so poor. I don't think he's at that level just yet, but I feel like we could be seeing him skip AAA in some capacity if Ty keeps trending downward like he kind of is. And if Ty, like, if they're not going to make a trade until closer to the deadline for a potential first baseman, like, Tyler Locklear has shown you since drafting him, he's improved every year, that he might be capable at some point. Maybe this year's not the year. And like I said, that would be an aggressive promotion. If he keeps hitting like this, I would still feel okay with it just to give it a shot. I think it'd be worth trying if Ty continues like that too. So we'll see. But he's been rather impressive. And then another top prospect that the country of Britain knows pretty well, Harry Ford, still so young. He's 21. He's been playing a lot of catcher in AA. There's been so much talk of if that's his position long term or not. I think they're just going to play him at catcher until he proves he can or can't do it. Obviously, first round pick in 2021, he's the number two prospect according to MLB.com in the system right now. Having another good start to their career, kind of doing what he's done so far in his minor league career. His OPS is 14th best in the Texas League, 856. He's fifth in walk percentage with 18%. He's really shown that since he got drafted. His eye at the plate is super impressive. He is slashing a 247, 402, 454, four home runs, 11 RBIs, and seven stolen bases as well. That 18% walk rate, almost a 20% K rate as well. That's pretty healthy. Leads the league leads catchers in the Texas League in OPS and home runs and stolen bases. And his defense appears to be coming along. I mean, he's still good at throwing guys out. I think that's at least that's what his bread and butter, I would say, has been so far. I don't know. I hear scouts say have differing opinions on his defense, to be honest with you. Like, maybe he's just not a great receiver and not a great framer in the future, but can really throw guys out, which if MLB employs the challenge system or an automated strike zone of some kind in the future, that would play to Harry Ford because that would kind of devalue framing a little bit and put a little bit more emphasis on throwing guys out. So it could be best for him long term. But he's such an interesting makeup for catcher. I've compared him to Mookie Betts multiple times in terms of athleticism and body type, just because he has seven stolen bases, four home runs, and he gets on base at a crazy clip. He's really fast for a catcher, super athletic. Like, I think that's why he's still such a highly ranked prospect, despite doubts of his catching ability, is because if he's not a catcher long term, once he makes it up to the big leagues, like corner outfield, second base, first base, all of that is in his sights because he's just kind of a freak athlete. So Harry Ford continuing to just do what he's been doing, and I think he'll be down there for a while this year, but he keeps putting up these numbers. He's going to be knocking on the door soon. And the third and final, like, top prospect down here in Arkansas is Cole Young. Many of you are familiar with Cole Young. He is the number one prospect in the system after a great year last year. And a strong start to his pro career in 2022. He was the first-round pick in the 2022 draft. He struggled so far in AA, but I think, well, I don't know what I think. It's not like I'm watching him every day, but he struggled a little bit. I think he'll probably be down here all year unless he absolutely lights the world on fire after this podcast comes out. And, I mean, because the avenue could be open to making a debut this year in, like, September. He's still so young. Cole Young, in fact, but he struggled so far in AA, and that is to be expected. I mean, he hasn't played at this level just yet. He killed it in the low A and high A in the past couple years, but so far he's struggling a little. He's slashing 243, 325, 324, 649 OPS. That's not great, especially just in the slugging department. That's not ideal. Again, he's still so young at the level at 20 years old. Like, that at AA being 20 is very young for the level. And again, I assume he'll be down here most of the year. Like with JP and Jorge Polanco at the major league level, it's not like they are rushing to get him up this year to play shortstop. He's the number one prospect in the system for a reason. I think his hit tool is what really stands out to scouts. I think there's expectations, obviously, with most guys, like with most young shortstops who come up with a good hit tool and not an amazing power grade. It's like he's already added plenty to his frame, but as he continues to add more, it's like, will he hit for power / will he continue at shortstop? Once a shortstop adds more to his frame, often it's like their defense falters, their range is limited, and they go to second base, which is not the end of the world, but it's the hit tool that's his bread and butter. He's supposed to be pretty good in the field and a solid runner as well. It's kind of an all-around good player with a good hit tool, but hopefully he gets back on track. The one thing that he is doing well this year is putting the bat to the ball. Like I said, contact ability. He has a fairly modest, like mediocre 9.5% walk rate. But he's 10th in the Texas League in strikeout percentage, 10th lowest at 15.9%, which is great. So that is at least like something to hang your hat on for him, is he's playing to his best strength currently, although he's not hitting the ball particularly hard, I guess. It seems. We don't have Statcast data for the minors, so harder for me to do a huge deep dive on these guys statistically, but it's so early in the season, too. I think he'll be fine. And some other position players that you might know performing well who aren't necessarily top prospects. Hogan Windisch, who is 24. He's a second baseman. He is a seventh-round pick in 2022. He's not on the Mariners' top 30. I did mention him last season with Everett, and he was on the minor league team of the season, the team of the year, at second base. He had a little breakout last year in Everett, and he's been hitting really well so far in AA. He's slashing .285, .392. 493. That's good for an 885 OPS. And he has an impressive 18.5% walk rate, which is third in the Texas League. He has played predominantly second base this season, but he's played a little bit of first, third, and DH this year already as well. So seems like a second baseman who can play maybe third base, first base as well, pretty healthily. And then the other position player at AA I wanted to mention, who is also on my 2023 minor league team of the year, Spencer Packard, who has, it's felt like he's been in the system forever, but it's only been 3 years. He plays corner outfield, left field mostly this season, and DH as well. He's a ninth round pick in the 2021 draft. He is also not in the top 30 on the Mariners list. He has just continued his great year. He's continued his, like, I guess, breakout. I mean, he had a really good year last year, and he's continued this season. He's slashing .288, .447, .404, .821 OPS. Like, super impressive approach at the plate. He's seventh in the Texas League in OBP, and a very impressive 16.7% K rate, right behind Cole Young, which is good for 14th overall in the Texas League. I think Packard is one of the guys that comes to my mind when you don't think of one of the Mariners' top prospects, but he's just kind of been solidly improving since getting drafted in the corner outfield. And I feel like long-term, his big league outlook might just be like a close to league average player, maybe makes an all-star team, but he just looks like a good, like, hitter. Like, I don't know if there's a tool that stands out about him. Maybe it's his eye, but he just looks, and his stats back up that he's just like a solid hitter at the plate, which is nice. And then on the pitching side in AA, there's a couple guys to note. Since the Mariners they've depleted most of their top pitching talent, a lot of these top prospects are position players, so like Cole Young, Harry Ford, Tyler Locklear, all down here. And then there's three guys I want to mention. One of them is the absolute breakout pitching prospect of the season right now, who you might know, but I'll talk about these first two guys before him. These two are having fine years. The first one, Juan Mercedes, right-handed pitcher. He's been in the system for 6 years now. He was signed out of the Dominican Republic. He's 24. Not in the top 30 list, but so far this year, he has a 3.8 ERA and 23 and two-thirds innings pitched and a 1.1 whip. He is second in the Texas League in strikeout-to-walk ratio, 7.33, which is great. 8.37 strikeouts per nine, which is good. Like, that's, I think, top 20 in that league, but his 1.14 walks per nine is second in the league, which just clearly commanding the ball really well on the mound. And then the other guy, Reed Vanscotter. I think it's Vanscotter. I want to say Vanscooter so bad, but there's only one O in the name. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's 25. He was the number one starter in the system last year, in my opinion. I mean, it was, I'm pretty sure, just to Everett, maybe a little bit Modesto, but ended at Everett. He was the number one starter on my team of the year, minor leagues, last year. He is right now the 30th ranked prospect in the system. He's a fifth-round pick in 2022 draft. Just such a great rookie campaign in Everett. And then it's just been solid in AA this year. 31 innings pitched, a 3.48 ERA, and a 1.16 whip. And a reminder, whip, walks and hits per innings pitched. How many base runners per inning, basically. And his ERA, that's 10th in the Texas League. So just really having a good start to the year and solidly, you know, probably making some improvements to his arsenal since having a good season and A-plus ball last year. And then the pitching breakout prospect of the season by far is Logan Evans. This guy right now is on one. He is 22 years old. He is a right-handed pitcher. He is the belle of the ball right now. He is the talk of the town, particularly like on Mariners Twitter. He is the absolute talk of Mariners Twitter right now. A good reminder. It's not a sponsor or anything, but Mariners Miners on Twitter. Again, I've shouted them out multiple times on this podcast. It's one of my favorite accounts on Twitter. They're so good at documenting anything and everything that goes on in the Mariners minor league system. So give them a follow if you're interested at all in the minor league stuff. And I hope you are if you're listening to me currently. But Logan Evans, he's a 12th round pick in the 2023 draft. He is the 19th ranked prospect in the system right now. And I'm sure like a midseason update would have him or will have him much higher whenever the updates come out. He's killing it. It's looking like another pitching lab DePoto era masterclass here with a 12th round pick. His first pro season, again, since he was drafted last year, and he put up some solid numbers in rookie ball and A ball, and it just is super small sample size. But after minor league spring camp this year, there was so much buzz around this guy. So this is still a breakout just because you haven't seen it before. But coming out of minor league camp this spring, it was like, oh, okay, they might have another like epic success pitching lab wise with this guy. His velocity jumped, and like that was the big talk. Is like, oh, his velocity jumped. His like spin is up on all his pitches. And the organization was just talking a lot about him. So still a breakout and a big one. Despite it being like, it's his second pro season. So yeah, it's a huge breakout in the Texas League this year. And 28 and two-thirds innings pitched, he has a 1.57 ERA. That leads the Texas League. Go along with a 1.05 whip. He's just been phenomenal. And it's the numbers that are impressive, but it's just watching him, just like watching the highlights from these games, it just looks really good. Everything about it just looks great. Really excited about him. I feel like similar-ish to Brian Wu in terms of like delivery and arm slot. It's kind of from the right side. It's kind of, the delivery is not quite as athletic as Brian Wu in my opinion, but the arm slot's very similar where it's coming in at a fairly lower angle. I just made a motion with my arm like you could see me, but pretend I'm throwing like Brian Wu, or just go look Mariners Miners, search Logan Evans. All right, go watch this guy. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Delivery and arm slot, just like Brian Wu-ish. And the way it comes off of his delivery, it looks like he gets good extension. It just looks kind of funky. I don't know if we'll see him this year for the Mariners. Like if there's injuries, I guess, knock on wood. Maybe we'll see him this year. I don't know. I think this is why the pitching lab is so great and why this is such a good thing to have as a strength in the system, despite the weaknesses that this organization has displayed. This big strength is huge because he could just be included in a trade this year. It could be like Levi Stout was included and Brandon Williamson was included to get Luis Castillo. Right? Am I getting that right? Or were those guys Winker and Eugenio? Either way, he might get included in a trade because he's just broken out. And like a 12th round pick breaking out like this, even if he doesn't end up ever playing with you, if you trade him for something that helps your team that year, like that's an absolute success. 12th round pick. That's crazy. Like if you can create a guy who might be good for you at the major league level, or just be a highlight of a trade package that directly benefits your MLB team, that's huge. That's amazing. So we'll see. We'll see with him. Because they still, they're getting Brian Wood back, but they still have, Hancock is now demoted again, but he will be the first to get the call if they need another starter. But we'll see with Logan Evans. I mean, I don't know. He's just having a really good start to the year. He's my official pitching breakout of the season, so it's exciting. And that's it with Double A. That's it with the Arkansas Travs. So let's move on to the Everett Aqua Sox, one of the best mascots and logos, in my opinion, in all of minor league baseball. I might be a homer for that, but the Aqua Sox are awesome. I love the I've gone to a few Aqua Sox games in my life, and I've loved every one that I've gone to. I was reading the wrong thing. Less to talk about with this team, to be quite honest. There's less top prospects here. I think there will be more soon, given the glut and insane amount of talent in Modesto right now on a minor league level below this one. But there's no top 10 prospects on this team. There's a couple that are right outside that I'll mention. But there's no out-and-out top prospect of the system on this team, and I'll just get started. There's less guys to talk about. The hitters, Ben Williamson, who is 23-year-old third baseman. He was a second-round pick in 2023. He's 15th on the M's prospect list. He's having a really good year. I didn't even mention how Everett's doing. Not great. They're 11-17 with a +2 run differential. So, I mean, you know, the Northwest League, it's tough. You got Eugene, Spokane, Vancouver, the Hillsboro Hops, Tri-City Dust Devils. It's a competitive division, man. Okay, but Ben Williamson, again, 15th on the Adams prospect list. He's 5th in the Northwest League right now in OPS with an 873 slashing overall, 321, 405, 468 with a home run and 21 RBIs. He only has one home run, but he leads the league in extra base hits with 13 on the season. So that's where that 468 slugging is coming from. It's less home runs, more gap power maybe, but really good start of the year for him. And second round pick last year, so like there's definitely some, you know, talent coming out of college for him, so that's intriguing moving forward. A really good start to the year for him. And then two other guys, the first one, Jared Substrom, who I'd never heard of before this year, and for decent reason. He's a corner outfielder. He was a 10th round pick in 2023, not in the top 30 of the MLB Mariners prospect list, but he's also having a great year so far. 810 OPS, that's 8th in the Northwest League, slashing 264, 393, 417, two home runs and 11 RBIs in the young season, so good on him. And then the last one here, who you might have heard me say before, probably last year, is Brock Rodden, 23-year-old second baseman. He's a 5th round pick in 2023. He's also not in the top 30, but I'm pretty certain I mentioned him on the show last year when I was doing my team of the year in the minors. I almost had him as a second baseman, but I don't think, if I remember correctly, he didn't play enough because he was a pick last year. So it went to Hogan Windish, who played like a whole season and was great. But like Brock Rodden was up there just because he was really solid in the short amount of games that he did play. And this year he's 14th in the Northwest League in OPS with a 779. That's very solid. But he's got four home runs on the young season, which is tied with one other guy for second in the Northwest League with a 257, 354, 425 slash line. So good start for Brock Rodden as well. And then we'll get to a couple pitchers from the Aqua Sox, and then we'll get down to A-ball where the real magic is happening right now. All right, three pitchers real quick, I don't have a whole lot to say about them. I don't know much about them, to be quite honest with you. But the first one, Ty Cummings, 22-year-old, 7th-round pick in 2023. He's not in the top 30, but he started the year with a 2.63 ERA and 24 innings pitched. The next guy, Ryan Hawks, 23-year-old, 8th-round pick in 2023. Also not in the top 30 prospects, but a 2.66 ERA in 23 and 2/3 innings pitched. So a really nice start to the year. And then Michael Morales is the guy I did recognize. He's a 3rd-round pick in 2021, and he's the number 12th-ranked prospect in the system right now. He's a 3.66 ERA in 32 innings pitched. I recognized him from last year and honestly the year before looking at prospect team of the year. So he's having a pretty solid start to the year, and he's the 12th-ranked prospect in the system, so there's some hope there. But that's all for the Aqua Sox. Now I'm going to get into what the Modesto Nuts are doing to the California League. This is A-ball. So this is the lowest level of, well, I mean, it is. It's, there's lower levels than this, and the lower levels are like short seasons. So like Arizona Complex League, Dominican Summer League, that type of stuff, or like just like rookie ball, which is rookie ball. Yeah. So this is the lowest professional league. I don't know why I'm like pussyfooting around that. It's the lowest professional league in the minors. There's so many top prospects on this team, and they're really all hitting prospects. The pitching has been solid too, but like, I'm only going to mention like two pitchers, because none of them are really top prospects, and I'll wait till they get to the lab before really making my determination. But the hitting down here has been absolutely absurd. So right now, and they just won again last night, like 10-2, they are 21-6. That's first in their division, which is the Cal League North. The closest team to them is in the Cal League South, Rancho Cucamonga, 16-11. And then the one that's closest to them in their division is Fresno, which is 15-13. So they're kicking everyone's ass. They have scored 221 runs and given up 110. That's 111 run differential. And I'm looking around at the rest of not just the California League, but single A as a whole. And there's a lot of teams in single A. There's three leagues. And I think there's like, what? There's what, 10? There's like 25 teams or something like this. 111 is by far the biggest run differential, like by like twofold. The closest to them is Fresno in their division in the California League with 31. And then the closest of another single A league, let me just verify this here, is a plus 58, which is in the Carolina League North. The Fredericksburg A-ball team is 58 run differential. That's the closest in single A. 111 run differential in 27 games. That's absurd. And so 110 runs allowed is really solid, but there's teams around single A that are close, and there's a couple teams that are lower than that in terms of runs allowed. Runs scored, however, the 221 number is, again, by far the biggest in single A. The next closest to 211, and let's see here as I scroll through the runs scored, is 179, Rancho Cucamonga. That's like 40 runs. That's like 40 runs of differential. That's what, 42 runs of differential. They have been mashing. They have 9 guys in the top 25 of runs batted in the California League so far. They are just mashing. Absolutely mashing. And I'll start, I only have two pitchers to talk about from this team, and I'll save them for the end. I'll start with the hitters, and there's a lot. There's a lot of top prospects and some other guys who are mashing right now, too. The first one I'm going to talk about is the hitter breakout prospect of the year so far on this young season. I'd never heard of him coming into this year. I don't think many people had. His name is Caleb Calley, which, for one, absolutely electric baseball name, I must say. He has been playing third base for this team. He was a 16th round pick in the 2023 draft. And he's, again, he's not in the top 30 of their prospects. I've never heard of him. He's a 16th round pick. Like, this goes deeper than, again, than I even, like, follow. And I'm pretty in deep with this stuff. He's on one to start the year. He is 22 games in to the season. He's played 22 games. He leads the California League in OPS with a 1,103 OPS. He is slashing a crazy, absurd 376, 491, 612 with two home runs and 20 RBIs. He leads the league in extra base hits with 14. His teammate Lazaro Montes is right behind him with 13, and we'll get to him. Just insane. That's an absolutely absurd start to the season. I don't think he's going to put up that the rest of the year. Maybe he will. His BABIP is a 492, which is kind of absurd. And, you know, maybe that'll regress. But maybe he's just hitting the ball so hard that nobody can field it. No, 492 is crazy. But he's clearly got something going on. He's the early breakout hitter candidate. And he's just, man, he's just been mashing. And, like, prior to the year, you looked at Modesto, and it was pretty clear Modesto and Arkansas are probably going to be the most talented teams in the minors. And you could probably be like, okay, Modesto is going to probably be the best team, at least to start the year. And that's been true. And you add this guy who has an 1,100 OPS into the frame with all these top prospects, and you get the 111 run differential. You get generational numbers that this team is putting up. So Caleb Cowley, maybe a name to remember down the line. And I'm going to be monitoring him all year to see if he continues this shit, because it's absurd. But now we'll get to the top prospects. And there's like six. There's like six top prospects on this team because they had so many draft picks last year. And I'll just go like from prospect ranks. We'll start with Colt Emerson. Colt Emerson, 18 years old. You know, shortstop, second base, first round in 2023 draft. He was the first pick of the Mariners' three high schoolers last year. The number three ranked prospect in the system. He has only played 14 games this year, which is about half of their games. He's been dealing with an oblique strain. I think he's getting over it soon, but we've talked about obliques. They're finicky with baseball, especially. Obviously, they're not going to rush him back. But he was really good in those 14 games, and he started the year... Or not started the year. He started his pro career coming out of the draft hot, like a hot fire last year. He hit rookie ball. He lit it on fire. They promoted him immediately with, I think, Ty Pete to Modesto, and they went on their playoff run last year in A ball, and he contributed a lot to that, which earned him like insane top prospect honors coming into this season. I mean, he's the number three in the Mariners system, and I think... In the top 100, where is he at? I think he was very aggressively placed on a couple different lists. He was like a consensus top 50, I believe, when in like Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, Fangraphs. Yeah, he 52 in Baseball America, 50 in Baseball Prospectus, and 87 on MLB.com, and I think... Keith Law had him ranked in the mid-hundreds as well, too, or mid-50s, you know? So for an 18-year-old who just got picked, obviously he was a first-round pick, but like the way he started his pro career was very impressive. And so those 14 games he did play before getting hurt, he was quite good. He was quite good in those games. He slashed 304, 444, 464. That's a 908 OPS before getting hurt, so... Hope he's back and playing, but obviously they're not going to rush him. But I think they've got something there, and Colt Emerson for sure. And then we'll go to the number fourth ranked prospect in the system, Lazaro Montes, another Mariners Twitter beloved. Outfield slash DH, he's played predominantly right field this year. He signed out of Cuba. Man, he can just mash. Like, he broke out last year in his first season stateside. He just hasn't looked back. Before I get into the stats, I talked about him. He made the prospect team of the year last year. The hype is insane behind him because just the way he looks. He looks so much like Jordan. I've talked about it, and that's insane praise to put on any prospect. And Jordan was a monster in the minors, power-wise, but also like walk-wise. And so Lazaro's got a long way to go to like live up to that. But like, he just looks like him. He's a giant. He looks gigantic from the left side of the plate. And just, he puts charges in the balls. He just hits the shit out of things. But he's third in the California League in OPS with a 1,000, a clean 1,000, slashing .327, .430, .570. Six home runs so far. That leads the league. And 39 RBIs. 39 RBIs. In how many games? Why did I not write that down? I don't know. He has played 26 games, 39 RBIs. That leads the league, obviously, but it leads the league by 13. The next highest is, 26 by Jake Geloff, which I think is Zach Geloff's brother. And as I said, the Modesto Nuts, they just knock runs in. Again, they have nine guys on the top 25 in the league in RBIs. So Lazaro, boy, just maybe he ends up in Double A at the end of this season. Again, this is still A ball. I think he's gonna be in Everett soon, probably, the way this keeps up. Man, it's hard not to get excited. It's hard not to get too excited about his like long-term future with the team. I have to really calm myself down talking about him, but I'll move on to the next two top prospects, the sixth and the seventh, which are the other high schoolers that were picked last year by the Seattle Mariners in the first round. Johnny Formello, the first one at 19, outfielder, probably corner outfield guy. Again, first round in 2023. He's hitting fine so far. Down here, he's slashing .247, .415, .370. That's a .785 OPS. That's fine. He's 19 years old. That's young for even A ball, to be quite honest. But a lot of the first round picks are down here too, who are that young out of high school. The .415 OBP is pretty impressive though. That's really, really impressive with an 18.9% walk rate. That is 11th in the California League. And 10 stolen bases, too, from Formello, which is really impressive. That's second overall so far in the league. And then Ty Pete, the other shortstop that they drafted, who has played a lot of shortstop and third base down there. I think when Cole Emerson is, well, I don't know. I think they'll move it around. I've seen some Cole Emerson second base, Ty Pete shortstop, Cole Emerson shortstop, Ty Pete third base. These high school shortstops, again, you never really know if they're going to make it to the bigs as a shortstop. A lot of them end up being corner outfielders, second baseman, third baseman, whatever. But he, similar to Formello, pretty modest numbers so far in A-ball. .255, .371, .388 slash line. That is a .759 OPS. Pretty solid, 15.5% walk rate, 6 stolen bases. The thing about Ty Pete, one, he's still 18, too. He is so young, just like Cole Emerson. And the thing about Ty Pete, I think out of the three guys they drafted, and I talked about this after the draft, I believe, his swing is beautiful. I think it's the prettiest of all of the guys they've drafted recently. It is a gorgeous swing. So, like, selfishly, for my viewing pleasure, I hope he can put it together as a young kid in the minors and come up with the Seattle Mariners and mash, because his swing is gorgeous. Look up his swing if you haven't. And that is the last of the top 10. So there's four top 10 guys down here, the third, fourth, sixth, and seventh ranked in the system, and they're 18, 19, 19, and 18 respectively. So really just a lot of good stuff going on in Modesto. And then they're the last top 10 guy. I almost forgot. There's one more top 10 guy. My bad. He's also 19. It's Michael Arroyo, a middle infielder, signed out of Columbia a little while ago. His second season this year, stateside, after playing 57 games with Modesto last year. He put up decent numbers with Modesto, but he's having a great start to the year this year, and the numbers are all up compared to last season. So clearly some improvement there. And he's slashing .273, .407, .434. 841 OPS, good for 13th in the league. That's super impressive. He was one of the youngest guys in A-ball last year when he started playing there. He's 19 now, so he was so young when he played in A-ball last year. And I remember when they signed him as an international prospect. There's a good amount of hype behind Michael Arroyo, and he's the last guy, the last top 10 guy on this list. I prematurely said that, and he is number 9 on the Mariners' top 10 right now. So the other two hitters that are worth noting that are still, you know, they're not top prospects, but they are hitting really well, and one of them is a 13th ranked prospect, but not this guy, Luis Suspel. I mentioned him earlier. He's 20 years old. Probably, the breakout guy of last year, kind of Caleb Cali-like, where I saw his numbers and was like, who the hell is that guy? Such an impressive year in his first season stateside last year, signed out of Venezuela. He is now the 28th ranked prospect in the Mariners system, and if he keeps hitting like this, he was not on the top 30 last year at all. He's now the 28th. If he keeps hitting like this, he's cracking the top 20 with ease by the end of this season. He's slashing .317, a .403, .490 with an 893 OPS. That's 10th in the California League. Clear projectable power with this guy. And he hit for a lot of power last year. And this year he has, two home runs and 11 extra base hits and 21 RBIs. Kind of out of nowhere, this guy just came up and was like, hey, I'm going to mash for the Modesto Nuts. He was part of their really good offense last year. He is so far part of their really good offense this year. And he's pretty big. I think he's like 6'2". A lot of power left to be put on that frame. And he's a switch hitter as well, too. I don't exactly know what his splits are and like what scouts think of him from the right side or left side of the plate, but switch hitting power first base is interesting. So that's Luis Suspel. And then the last hitter on this list, Aiden Smith, who is an outfielder, fourth round pick in the 2023 draft last year. He's the number 13th ranked prospect on the Mariners system, so a good amount of hype with him as well. He's been playing center field and left field for the Nuts this season. I don't know exactly what his defense is supposed to be. I know it's graded out pretty well at a 55 with a 60 arm. And he's supposed to be pretty fast and have a good hit tool. And he's also, he's pretty tall. He's 6'2". So no slouch here. And he has a very solid slash line to start this year. A 258, 365, and 433 to 798 OPS. 3 home runs on the year with 7 stolen bases. So a good display of speed. And man, that's what, 7 guys, 8 guys. It's like their whole offense basically is just absolutely mashing right now. If you live near Modesto, go to see the freaking Nuts. They're killing it. And then the couple pitchers I did want to mention having good starts of the year for the Nuts, Will Schomburg. No idea who this guy was before I looked at the minors this year. Minor league free agent signing out of college last year. Not in the top 30, obviously. 2.48 ERA and 29 innings pitched this year with a 1.07 whip. That's really good. And then Elijah Dale, who I also had never heard of. 13th round pick of the 2023 draft. 2.86 ERA and 22 innings pitched this year. 1.14 whip. So both doing some work for the Modesto pitching staff. But, you know, when you have that much run support, it's hard to not win games. And they're killing it. Tune into the Nuts if you can. And that is it for the pro A, high A, and double A highlight here. Something worth noting, Felnin Celestin, the Mariners' number 5 prospect, who was the big international signing last year. I think it was like $4.7 million. A lot of their international signing cap was spent on this guy. He was one of the best international prospects, and the Mariners got him. We didn't get to see him play much last year due to injury, but he's having a good start to his Arizona Complex League career in 4 games. So, you know, it's 4 games, but he has 18 plate appearances. 429, 556, 571. That's a 1,127 OPS in 4 games so far. So obviously super far off from the big leagues, but like his ceiling just looks like infinite at this point. And he's 18, you know, really tall, switch hitting shortstop, big frame, good instincts at short. Still a long way to go, but like sky's the limit for a guy like that. And that is officially, now I'm officially done with the lower minors. I have a little bit of time. I'll go another couple minutes. What are the Rainiers doing? Because some of the top prospects were with the Rainiers. I mean, we saw Jonathan Class A with a major league team this year. But guys like, you know, Ryan Bliss are down there, who's not having a great year, 754 OPS. That's not great. Not a lot of power in the Pacific Coast League, where there's like four ballparks that are like Coors Field. The best hitter so far in terms of OPS is Michael Chavis, the Ice Horse. 941 OPS. In terms of the other guys, Leo Rivas was hitting pretty well. We saw him with the major league team. Sam Haggerty was hitting fine. He's up with the team now. Cade Marlowe has been 768 OPS. Like, that's okay. A lot of strikeouts with him, unfortunately. Smott Taylor has not been very good down there. And then Blake Hunt. Blake Hunt, catcher, who I think we got from the Rays. He's on the top 30 somewhere. I think he's, let's see, he's 23rd in the top 30 Mariners prospects. He's hitting really well down there. 920 OPS right now. He's, I don't exactly know what his defense is supposed to look like behind the plate. The scout grade defense is 60, which is really good. But I mean, scout, there's one thing is scout grades. One thing is watching the guy. Man, I mean, if Sebi Savala continues to not do anything, like Blake Hunt looks like, I mean, he's at least mashing in AAA. Like, that's exactly what you want a guy in the Pacific Coast League to do, is put up a 307, 371, 548 slash line from the catching position. So maybe, I mean, again, if Sebi just keeps doing awful at the major league level, it's definitely worth giving this guy Blake Hunt a shot here. He's really big too, 6'4", 215. So he's on the 40 man as well. So I think we'll likely see him at some point this year. I don't know how soon. I don't know how much longer of a leash they're going to give Sebi, but he's just been so bad. Just so bad. And then all the pitching down here has honestly, we've seen most of these guys. The guys we haven't seen who are interesting, Carlos Vargas, who we got back in that with Sebi Savala from the D-backs. He is a 1.64 ERA and 11 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts. He's definitely someone we could see this year. Brian Wu's numbers are great, but we're going to see him. He gave up no runs in 11 and a third innings, 17 strikeouts. He looked boring. He looked bored, I should say, pitching down there. He's ready to be back, and he will be. Another guy, I guess the only other guy we haven't seen, like Mauricio Ilvera, 3.86 ERA and 9 and a third. Dallas Keuchel's down there doing stuff. Levi Stout has not looked great. 31 and a third innings pitched, 5.46 ERA. I wish there was like minor league FIP that I could see, and maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place because I don't know how much of that is the PCL and also automated ball strikes. I don't know. I take pitching with a grain of salt down in AAA. It's a tough league to pitch in, but I think like of the guys we might see in the bullpen, like Ilvera and Vargas, and then Bizardo just got called up again. And that's probably about it. We've seen a lot of the other guys. Like, we know who Ty Adcock is. We've seen Brett DeGuay. Is that how you say it? Man, I don't know. Who else have we seen? Kirby Snead is up. Tyson Miller we've seen. Colin Snyder we've seen. Cody Bolton we've seen. So, yeah, mainly, like, Michael Chavis, Blake Hunt have been killing it. Unfortunately, Ryan Bliss hasn't looked amazing. Hopefully he can pick it up. And Cade Marlowe, too. And Jonathan Class A down there has just been more or less doing what he's done in the minors. He hitting for some power, stealing a decent amount of bags, but still striking out a good amount. But I'm sure we'll see him back with the major league team at some point this year. I'm sure injuries will necessitate that. But that's the current state of the Mariners minor league system. I appreciate you listening. It was nice to just not talk about the major league team for a week, but I will probably be back next week to talk about what the, you know, Major League Seattle Mariners have been doing, good or bad. I will be back to talk about them. But in the meantime, I appreciate you listening this far. If you've made it this far, have a good rest of your week. And of course, until next time, go Mariners. And go Modesto Nuts, for that matter.